opening, you will find in the Old Testament, the book of Nahum, the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Nahum, chapter 1. The word of the Lord, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkosite. God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and dries up all the rivers. Bashan languishes and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up a second time. For while they were fallen together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagined evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now I will break his yoke from his off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord has given in commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art foul. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, we have read together. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. The Lord is good. The Lord is a refuge, and he knows you who trust in him, even in the day of trouble, or better yet, precisely in times of difficulty, he cares. And congregation, this verse 7 in this first chapter of Nahum, this word of the Lord is like a calm and still place in the midst of a mighty rushing waterfall, as Spurgeon once commented. In these first 6 verses we have read together, a mighty, powerful waterfall. God is jealous. The Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord takes vengeance. He reserves wrath. He is great in power. His hand is in the whirlwind, and his fury poured out like fire. And the question arises, who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? Revenge, fury, vengeance, wrath, great in power. Who can abide? And then we read, and maybe it is not expected, and certainly it is not deserved, but in this midst of this mighty rushing waterfall of God's power and might, that the Lord makes himself known also to us this morning as a resting place, as a hiding place, as a refuge. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. And so, congregation, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate upon these words with you this morning at the beginning of this week, to consider that the Lord is good in times of difficulty. Three main points in those first seven verses of Nahum 1. It speaks of God's judgment, God's mercy, and third place, God's care. So the theme for this morning, the Lord is good in times of difficulty. Three main thoughts: God's judgment, God's mercy, and God's care. The chapter opened that the prophet Nahum was burdened. That is, he carried a word of the Lord for the city of Nineveh. And much had transpired for this city, as the Lord comes to them with his word again. Because a generation before, the Lord had sent the prophet Jonah, had sent his word of mercy, had sent a word to encourage repentance, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And that word of the Lord had transformed the lives of the people of Nineveh, as we read in Jonah 3 verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, repentance. And we read of them, they cried out mightily to God, repentance. And they turned from their evil way, so repentance. And they pleaded with God that he would turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger, and that they would not perish. And the Lord, so we read at the conclusion of the book of Jonah, the Lord saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Mercy, mercy, mercy. One sermon for the people of Nineveh, and they believed God upon his word. And you, they repented. And you, and they turned from their evil ways. Congregation, that we are here this morning is because of the Lord's mercy. Mercy that we are not consumed, that his compassions fail not. And yet, although the people of Nineveh in the time of Jonah repented, and more important, God in his infinite mercy repented of the evil that he would do unto them, showed mercy and not executing his judgment and justice yet in the time of Nahum. One generation later, the people of Nineveh, so a people so graciously spared by the Lord, a generation later, this people backslided and sinned greatly. When you read through the book of Nahum, and particularly in chapter 3, it makes it fairly clear how greatly they sinned. The Lord called them a bloody city, and full of lies and of robbery, multitude of whoredoms and well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts. The people had turned to idolatry and arrogance. Congregation, here is a people that have experienced in the past the Lord's sparing mercy, and yet they turned away from the Lord and returned and turned to other gods than the true living God. Do you begin to see why the Lord is angry with the people in Nahum 1? Do you begin to see that the Lord's judgments are right? But congregation, if this is the anger of the Lord to a people in Nineveh, and directed to the Ninevites and the Assyrians, what then about his covenant people, Judah? When they had backslided and sinned as a covenant people, and then to read, who then can abide in the Lord's anger? And who then can shall stand in his judgment? Despite the mercy and long-suffering of a covenant-keeping God. And I think it's not much to say that also as congregation we experience that a covenant-keeping God. As last month, we had the table of the covenant administered in the midst of the congregation. And then look back over those last 4 or 5 weeks. Backsliding? Turning away from the Lord? Serving other gods than the true and living God? Congregation, it may be difficult in our time, but do you believe? Do we still believe in the fierce anger of the Lord against sin? Your sin, my sin. Do we still really believe the Lord revenges? The Lord is furious. The Lord will take vengeance. He reserves wrath. The Lord is great in power and will not at all acquit those who sin. That is what our sins deserve. And maybe in our time this is a very unpopular message. But congregation, let us never step over it. Let us never downplay this reality. Yes, we like to read, the Lord is slow to anger. And we ask even in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord, say for, but is God also not merciful? Yes, indeed, God is merciful, but he is also just. And his justice requires that sin committed against the most high majesty of God also needs to be punished severely. That is everlasting. Punishment of body and soul. The Lord has to deal with our sin. Even maybe hidden sin, secret sin, sin that maybe people never know. But where shall we hide? Where shall we take refuge in the day of judgment? for such a waterfall of fury and great power of God. That brings me to my second point, God's mercy. God's mercy in Christ. Christ reminds us in Luke 11, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the day of judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, greater than Jonas is here. Congregation, when we speak about God's mercy, we only can direct to the cross, where the full wrath of God, his justice, his vengeance, his great power and displeasure that was once revealed on Golgotha, on Christ, his Son, who was without sin. Of this we were also reminded last month with the administration of the Lord's Supper, where he was bound, where Christ was bound, that he might be, that we might be freed from our sins. Where he was condemned to death, that we are acquitted of before the judgment seat of God. That he has taken upon himself the curse due to us, so that he might fill us with his blessings. And only and because of that finished and complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can speak of God's mercy as we read it here in Nahum 1. When we come to verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, a refuge, a hiding place. Yes, congregation, we can speak theologically. The Lord is good in himself, Jehovah, a covenant-keeping God, and the Lord is good in his grace, and the Lord is good in his providence, and the Lord is good to his own people. But congregation, against the black background of sin and judgment, do you begin to understand this really good news here in verse 7? For a people who deserves judgment, for a black backsliding people, for a people despite God's care in the past, a people that forget the Lord time and time again, for a people who are in times of difficulty, of trials, of testings, in the day of trouble, this good news that God in Christ, in wrath, remembers mercy. That you begin to see the Lord is so infinite good, so infinite merciful. And then I ask you also, do you believe that also? Not only that the Lord is a God who has to deal with sin, but that he is also a God of mercy. And maybe there in the midst of us that begin already to say, oh Lord, help my unbelief when they see their sins. But this is how the Lord reveals himself this morning to us in this little and often unknown and sometimes unwanted book of judgment against Nineveh. A God of justice and a God of mercy. And how these two can be united, go together, only in Christ, his beloved Son. That justice and mercy came together on the cross. And then to experience, despite your sin, when you have to look upon yourself, that you have to say, O Lord, if thou would mark my iniquities. And then to see Christ, to turn away from self, seeking your salvation outside yourself, and looking at the cross, and looking to Christ. O wonder of grace, O wonder of mercy, the Lord is good, a refuge, a stronghold in the day of trouble. That is the gospel news also for this morning. And maybe also for the afflicted people in our midst. As verse 12 says, I have afflicted thee, and I will afflict thee no more. For a people poor and needy in himself, as the Lord said of them in Zephaniah, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And that is only for Christ's sake. To experience, as the Apostle James writes, mercy rejoice against judgment. And so that you can read, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. God and no one else, he is their refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then I ask you this morning, what is now your hiding place? What is now your place of refuge? What is your very help also for this new week? Is it now the mercy of Christ, the mercy of God in Christ and him alone? Or do you still rest on other things? A gospel of Christ and something else. For the Apostle Paul, this was such a good news, this glad tidings, this word of salvation, this word of deliverance for an afflicted people, words of mercy, that he cites it in Romans 10. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Congregation, as the gospel preaching from this pulpit, was it the gospel of peace for you? Was it truly a glad tiding of good things? As Christ revealed himself to the soul, for the people that deserve judgment, and yet they receive mercy. Oh, how comforting it is to call on the name of Jesus, also in times of trouble and difficulty. That his name is and gives comfort in time of sorrow. Not only sorrow over sins, gives strength in time of weakness, gives hope in times of despair, lifts up when you are bowed down. That's the good news also for this week, that he is indeed a stronghold, a place of refuge, a place of defense, a place of strength and security. Nahum, little is known of him, this prophet that ministered 600 years before Christ. But his name carries the gospel message of this little book. His name means comfort, full of comfort, or some have pointed out reassurance, pointing to that only comfort, Christ. What is then your comfort in your life and in your death? Can you truly attest this morning, my only comfort is to rest this faithful Savior Jesus Christ. To him I belong. discomfort, in times of trouble and testing, this time, in times of adversity, in times of distress and difficulties. When you have come in this morning with cares and concern, is it Christ, your place of refuge, so that you can attest even this morning, even maybe times of difficulty or times of testing, that you may say the Lord is good, so infinite good and gracious. He is so merciful. He has not dealt with me as I deserve. He is truly a stronghold in the day of trouble. He is my hope. He is my comforter. Congregation, how is it? A month after the Lord's Supper, can we miss him? Or we have Lord's Supper and we move on in life, and or do we live with this reality? God in Christ is merciful. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace. The Lord is good. What more, as verse 7 concludes, and he knows them that trust in him. And so I hope that you truly may see this morning that it is truly a calm and still place in the midst of this mighty rushing waterfall of God's judgment, that Christ's substitution in the midst of God's fiercy wrath, to experience he for me. O wonder of grace, he knows them that trust in him. Which speaks in the third place of God's care. Christ's care in the day of difficulty. God knows you, knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows what is best for us. And sometimes we think that he has forgotten us, but here we read and we hear he knows them, and we read in the original he knows them intimately. He is deeply acquainted with them, with your fears, with your pain, with your sorrows. Whatever you have brought in this morning, he knows you. He knows you. There is a place of refuge, the one who knows you. This consolation and comfort in Christ, whatever your situation is, maybe your present difficulty, the Lord is with you. He is present. The cares and concerns that you have in life, he is near, so that you can cast it all on him. Maybe the storms in life, but with Jesus on board, he is near. In times of spiritual darkness, he who is the light of the world, he is near. In prayer, he is present to hear your prayers, even your silent petitions and the cries of your heart are heard by him, because he is near, he is present, and he knows you. O congregation, converse often with him in prayer, so that you may experience his comforting presence. The loss of loved ones, he is near. You cannot be bereaved of that friend Christ that is more than all. Maybe the challenges in your business or your work or school or college. Or maybe you sit here this morning and you need direction in life. He knows them that trust in him. He cares. Oh, cast then your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Those that trust in him. Also for this new week. Congregation, the gospel transforms. And by undeserved grace and in Christ you experience this gospel wonder. Your judgment rightly deserved, but taken away in Christ. A way of salvation was opened. And when you have experienced his infinite mercy for such one as you are, when you may know his care in your life, he knows me. He has not forgotten me. To whom else shall you then go? To whom else shall you then go? Then a leaning, a resting, a relying, a trusting in him, on Christ and his complete and finished work. Does not the psalmist say in Psalm 91, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Oh, congregation, trusting in him gives us a wonderful hold on God. Those times in your life that you can say with the psalmist, grace is the Lord and the righteous, yea, our God is merciful, I was brought low, but he helped me. So that at times you can sing, wholeheartedly sing, the mercy of the Lord. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. That is transforming grace, transforming mercy. Yes, to trust in the Lord in times of prosperity, but sometimes also difficult. In times of adversity, day of trouble, in times when life is hard, and then to say, the Lord is good. In times when you go over the world and from the depth you cry to the Lord, and then to experience in the Lord there is mercy and there is plenteous redemption, plenteous also this morning, so rich, so abundantly plenty for every situation in your life, that the Lord is a refuge, that he truly knows and that he truly cares, and he knows you. You who cannot miss him anymore. You who trust in him. And that also then for this new week that lies before us, that we may testify that in our daily life, in our family life, to our children, you have grandchildren, to your grandchildren, and say, the Lord is good. He is a refuge in the day of trouble. And he knows you who trust in him. Amen. Let us pray. The Lord will bless this brief, but such a good word of gospel news to our hearts and to our lives, that we may truly testify also as a congregation in this world that thou art good, that thou art a refuge, a stronghold, even precisely in times of difficulty. And so, Lord, will remember us in thy mercy, that we may share this good news with those around us, when by grace we have experienced thy mercy and thy goodness and thy grace, that we cannot keep it to ourselves, but that we may invite others to see that thou art truly good in Christ. And so, Lord, be with us in the furtherance of this day. Give us a day of rest, a day of reflection on your word, that it might shape us, transform us into thee. And we ask these things in the forgiveness of our sins, for Christ's sake alone. Amen.